This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore along with Heather Atwood. And we are back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company after Heather has crisscrossed the country. Welcome home.
Hi, Rick. Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about that first, I think, before we go to some other things. The MidPod is in its...
nascent stage.
Is what?
Nascent stage.
I was going to say embryonic, but yeah, it works. Okay. And it's about ready for liftoff here. So give me a little update on the MidPod and what you will be starting. And I know it's coming up in a week or so.
Yes. So our first episode will launch on November 7th. People can listen to that. It's the story of the New Jersey 11th Congressional District. And it's a really dynamic story because the incumbent Republican has been there forever. He's super, super wealthy. All his Republican constituents love him because he's been there forever and he's super wealthy. And he has voted for the environment and for women's rights at the same time being incredibly fiscally conservative. Except until recently. And he's changed that vote very seriously. So he's now voting 100% down the line with Donald Trump, which means anti-environment and anti-women and family. So there's the story.
And where do we find this when it finally comes out? How are we going to locate it?
You will find it on any place where you listen to podcasts. That means right on your iPhone. If people have an iPhone or a device, there's a little section for podcasts. And there's a library there, and that's where our podcast will go. So you can go there. It's called the MidPod. Or you can also go to our site, which is also in its nascent stage, but it's even closer to becoming a real deal. That should be up, actually, in the next couple of days, themidpod.com.
I have a list of favorite words, one of which is ubiquitous, but certainly nascent, and I haven't heard that in a long time.
I love that word. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's coming up. Very good. And that always leads us to the topic of food, I think, because in your crisscrossing the country, you've come across some different cultural cuisine, I'm guessing.
I certainly have, yeah. So we have been to New Jersey at this point in the stage of the MidPod. We've been to New Jersey, Michigan, West Virginia. We had a little stint in Los Angeles. We went to a podcasting conference, and then we were in Austin, Texas. So, yeah, the food has been really diverse. I will tell you, only because we're focusing on New Jersey right now, because that is our first episode, there's a really funny guy who's running for Congress. He's actually running as a Republican against this Republican. It'll be a tough fight for him. But he calls me up almost once a week because his campaign is pretty modest. And basically the only people paying any attention to him are us. So, and he's so excited because he actually got some, you know, some press. But he has given me a great recipe. He's a runner. I'm a runner. And it's a runner's omelet, we call it. It's an omelet that has avocado and vanilla non-fat Greek yogurt in it.
Sounds weird, but it's really good.
No, it sounds like something Tom Brady would make up.
Right? Exactly. No, so we're calling this the Martin Hewitt runner's omelet.
Excellent. All right, this is pretty cool. Now, on the food aspect, we're down into the top five now.
Yes, on that list, the 50 best dishes in the world. We are down to number 5 and number 4. So
we should be into the good stuff now.
Well, I think so. I mean, these are two of my favorite things, and let's see how they hit on the Rick Moore scale. Okay, number 5 is Peking duck. Everybody loves Peking duck, Rick. You have to love Peking duck. Everybody loves Peking duck. It's served with pancakes and scallions and hoisin sauce. No. You should see the look on his face. He's trying to figure out how to tell me he doesn't like it.
I've never tasted it, but I don't like it.
Do you like pancakes? Scallion pancakes? Have you ever had a scallion pancake?
Ooh. I've never tasted them, but I don't like them.
So you've never had Peking duck in a Chinese restaurant? No. Do you like duck? No, you don't like duck. Oh, my gosh. You don't know because you haven't had it.
I've never tasted it, so no, I don't like them.
Well, duck is kind of a cross between chicken and roast beef. How does that sound?
I think I may have tried it once, and it tasted kind of mealy to me. I might have had a really fresh one. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, the texture could be a thing. All right, so I'm going to tell you Peking duck. Okay, so Peking duck, it's got all sorts of mysteries around it. One is how ancient this recipe is. I did a little research. It dates back to the 13th century. It was a specialty in the Chinese courts in the Ming Dynasty in the 15th century. And it basically was a really upper-class dish, I think, because it needs to hang. There's this all kinds of mysterious techniques about getting the skin to be super crispy, including people have been known to put a hairdryer up under the skin. And so Rick is wincing. He is wincing. So just imagine that, a freshly killed. So the whole point is to get that skin to be super, super crispy and the meat to be super, super moist and tender at the same time and full of flavor. So those are two contrasting cooking techniques, and there are all kinds of ways to figure out how to do that. But, again, it is a really ancient dish going back to Chinese imperial life. But another fact I learned is that there is a restaurant in, I believe it's Beijing, actually. I might be wrong with that. But it was built in 1864, and it's specifically for Peking duck.
Wow.
Since 1864, it has 41 halls in it. And it can serve, where is that number? 5,000 people a day.
Wow.
Right? All Peking duck.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And it's still in operation. And, in fact, it has some satellite restaurants in, I believe, Australia, and there's another one someplace. But isn't that amazing?
It is. It's incredible. And all for Peking duck. That's amazing.
Peking duck, yeah. So Peking duck is traditionally served with these little pancakes and scallions and hoisin sauce, or a variation of hoisin sauce.
Not to change the subject, but is there something more normal? Number four?
No. But this is one of my absolute favorites, which is sushi. And I know you... His head is hanging so low. He is just... didn't we have hamburgers last week?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. So 5 and 4 are really not making it to the Rick Moore meter. But I love sushi. And this is what I learned about sushi. It dates back to the 14th century. And now what sushi is the very special thing about sushi is the rice. Okay? So this rice is... It's a very involved process to make it taste like sushi rice, which is a little combination of a faint bit of vinegar and a faint sweetness to it, okay? But that, and the rice is usually rolled around some kind of filling. Often it is raw fish, but it can also be vegetables, and there are all kinds of crazy ones now with avocado and fruits and things like that, and fried soft shell crab, all kinds of things. Okay, but the rice is the thing in sushi. Sashimi is when it is just raw fish. But sushi always involves this rice.
Oh, okay.
And what I learned...
I knew that.
You have never set foot in a Japanese restaurant. I do know that, right? Yeah. So anyway...
I've driven by some.
So what I learned, though, was that the origins of this rice, the rice and fish combination, date back to the 14th century. Mm-hmm. And they basically would pack raw fish in rice, and the rice would preserve it.
Oh, okay.
So it was some, bacterial process that worked. So, and that's how this rice and fish combination came to be. And over the centuries, they decided, we can actually eat the rice. So then it became a cuisine.
Wow. Well, I think after we get through this top 50 in this list, we've got to have the top 50 in this country, because the worldwide stuff, but I'm being silly, because all this stuff is obviously popular everywhere. That's what makes it so great. And have you tasted all of these, including sushi, I'm gathering?
I have tasted everything on this list except stinky tofu.
Right.
That's the only one I haven't. Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. I still can't believe that's on the list.
I know.
That's really mysterious. But, I mean, I'm sure it is really popular. Maybe there are just so many people in Southeast Asia.
And what kinds of sushi? Are there different kinds by what's in them? Whether it's a certain kind of fish or whatever, do they have different names? Or sushi?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, they all have different names. And nigiri sushi is. I learned that is basically. You see nigiri sushi on a menu a lot, and what it refers to is. Nigiri is Tokyo in Japanese, or it's a version of Tokyo, and Tokyo was the place that had, or Edo, I think, is Tokyo, but okay. Nigiri somehow comes out of there. It's the place that has the best sushi. So that's one name that you see on a sushi menu a lot. Mm-hmm. And it usually refers to the name of the fish that's in, right. or okay. the ingredients inside. Yeah.
Well, what I like is that all of these dishes have some kind of a history to them that I didn't know about, or I don't think most people know about. So that's fascinating.
I know. Well, I did not know about this Beijing restaurant, the Peking Duck restaurant, and I did not know about the origins of sushi. So it's been fun to do this list for me. Yeah.
So the next time we get together, or soon thereafter, it'll be the top three.
Yeah, we're right down
to... Have
you
looked ahead?
I haven't.
Oh, good.
And if you believe that.
Yeah, well,
I needed to know where we're going. So,
oh, okay.
But we're going to keep it a secret. And
okay, good.
Yeah, but I think we should move to the American top 50
Let's
next.
Try that
I know. Right. I think that's going to be interesting, particularly since I'm going to be in America a lot for the next year.
Okay, now with the MidPod is in production now and getting ready to have its initial showing in a week or so. Where are some of the places that you guys might be going? Because, again, I got really confused with the selection process, but the midterms are a year away. It's going to get really hot probably around the springtime. So what are some of the other places you have planned on?
Well, I think I told you the last time we were going to Kentucky. And
with
we're
the colonel, yeah.
Yeah, right. So we're actually saving... I know, isn't that funny? Yeah, two colonels. One's a woman. We're saving that race... And so, but we will be going to Kentucky. We'll be going to Wisconsin. We'll be going back to Michigan to the Upper Peninsula because there's a really interesting race up there. We're definitely going to California. There's so many races in California. So we will probably be there for almost a month trying to cover a bunch of those places. So that'll be kind of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew, thank you. Heather Atwood at the Pleasant Street Tea Company with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.